Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you so much for your presence, and that where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Freedom to be who we are in Jesus. Freedom to not walk in bondage. Freedom to not be chained by chains of this world. Freedom to walk by the Spirit and the Spirit alone, Lord. Freedom to walk in joy and to dance and to sing and to declare your praises throughout our day and throughout our evenings, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that is offered for you from you, Lord Jesus, and that we are free indeed because you have set us free, Lord. We have not taken the chains off ourselves, Lord. We are free indeed because you have done the finished work of the cross. And we celebrate in that, Lord, every day, Lord, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our failures and the things that we allow to discourage us and pull us back, Lord, we know that we know that we know that we are free because of who you are, Lord, and we can rejoice in that freedom of who you are, Jesus. Father, your presence is here and it's real, Lord, and it's alive and well. Spring up, O well, down deep in my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Thank you, Jesus, for open hearts, open ears, open eyes, open minds, Lord, to receive from you, to understand your perfect, pleasing will in our lives, Lord Jesus. We are hungry. Lord, when our flesh is hungry, we know where to go. We go and eat, Lord. But when our spirit is hungry, Lord, fill us up with your word. Fill us up with your presence. Can we just sing one more time how he loves us? Just to your heart.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yes, he does.
Thank you, Jesus. We receive that love this morning, and we pray all these things in your mighty, precious name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much for your amazing, glorious, anointing worship. Can y'all give her a hand? We're so blessed to have Michelle here. She's going to be with us a couple more times this semester, and I'm so blessed to have her come because she prepares the atmosphere so well. It's like I hardly have to work up here because she's already done the work for me. Thank you for doing that. It's almost like, you know, when you're getting ready to do a squat, but somebody's already back there going to push your butt up. I don't know where that came from, but that's what she feels like. She's got my hiney. She's got my hiney, and I'm okay with that. God is good. Ladies, y'all know what today is?
Wednesday.
Yes! You win the prize. Besides Wednesday, what is today? How far along in the study are we? Halfway! This is the hump day. And it is actually Wednesday, which is the hump day. So yes, we are halfway through this study. How many have of y'all have been blessed by You Are Worth It series so far? How many of y'all are going out and applying this in your daily walk with Christ? Come on. Come on. Come on. Are you trying to play my mashup? My friend Tammy over there has decided to make a mashup for me because I told her I needed somebody to make me some kind of a musical CD to this Bible study of You Are Worth It, since the whole thing came from that song. God is good. I love Him. So, ladies, we still have 3 more weeks of study, and it's 3 more weeks of just God wants to speak to you in that place, and He wants to minister to you, and He wants to teach you, and He wants to give you wisdom. So you've made it this far. Keep going. God is good. Keep going. There's 3 more weeks, and bring a friend if you think they're going to be blessed. Bring a friend and tell him, hey, you're worth it to come to Bible study. Amen? And they'll say to you, well, no, you know, you know how those women are. They're so perfect, and I'm just so not. And be like, no, we ain't. We're all trying to figure this thing out. So you come join us together and figure it out. Amen? All right, well, today's study is called Tied Up, Waiting to be Ridden. Did everyone get a outline? Because you're going to need one for today. Just like every week, you're going to need one. Sorry. But today, you're going to need one for sure. I want to start by asking a question this morning to you, and I want you just to kind of open your minds and think here this morning. Do you ever feel in your life that God has put you someplace? He has put you someplace in a season or a situation or whatever it is. You feel like God has put you someplace and has left you there and has told you not to move. You might be like, oh, my whole life. But I'm talking about like that feeling of, God, why have you put me here? And why have you not created a way of escape? I feel like you're almost got my hand on me here, and I'm supposed to stay here, but it's not very much fun. Have you ever felt that way? And it's not like God hasn't taken care of you in this place. He's been good to you, and He is good, and He continues to feed you, nurture you, protect you, love you, speak to you, lift you up out of dark places, bring people around you to encourage you in the Holy Spirit. God is good. It's this place, and He takes care of you. He takes care of you. But down deep inside, you feel like there's just this deeper reason for your existence and for your life, that you were created for more than just this place that He has caused you to be stuck in. And as I begin to ask the Lord this question, what is this innately thing that we have inside of us that constantly is longing for more? M-O-R-E. More. More, more, more. There's something down in us that is constantly wanting more. With that more, we think that we really need more love, because we're always going to go into the physical nature because we live in the physical world. So when we have that inner craving of more, we first focus on the outside. Come on. We think we need more love. If I could just get more love, if I could get more affection, more touch from my spouse, more respect for who I am and what I do, if I could just get more money for my situation, if I could just get more of just feeling useful or feeling like there's a place for me in this world, we always go to the physical with more, more. What is the more, ladies, that we're actually really crying out for? What is it that's down deep us that we're crying out for? And because you crave more, you start to realize where you are at is not really what you expected out of life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This is the place where fear enters, depression enters, loneliness enters. The place where you've come and said, well, this is not what I expected out of life. This is not what I've given my all for. Being in this place is not what I've asked God to give me. And some of us press on and some of us turn away in this place. So as we begin to reflect on what it is that we are longing and wanting, the first thing we tend to go to is the physical. So you start to examine yourself physically. Come on, we just do. Well, I'll be happier, you know, I'll feel better about myself if I just get a new house. Or I'll feel better about myself if I just get a new spouse. Or I'll feel better about my mom. We just go extreme sometimes. We think that, you know, the people around, if I could just get a new mother-in-law, then my life would be solid foundation. Yeah. You know, if I could just lose that 10 pounds, then I will be ultimately happy. Come on, ladies, you know we go to the physical. We try to find our happiness and what's going on around us, and we think that's going to fill that inner craving for more in our lives. And what happens when you achieve those things in your life and you do those things? You have maybe a temporary 24-hour high, and then what happens? You're lower than you were when you started. Desperate. Desperate. So we examine ourselves outwardly, and we think, if I change this, then I'll be whole. So that doesn't work. So then you start to become in tune and say, okay, well, maybe there's something deeper going on here. And you start to go inward, and you start to examine yourself from the inside out. And this is where some people go weird, or some people become saved and whole because the Holy Spirit has touched them. But you begin to have the Holy Spirit begin to minister to you on the inside, and you begin to heal a brokenness and past hurts and things in your life and places and situations that have dumped on you some nasty stuff, and you begin to be healed of this place. But still, you're still in a place. And God, and yes, in this place, you have experienced a new perspective, because now you're in the place and there is joy. And there's understanding. There's a new perspective, but you're still in the place. Has anyone ever wondered what the heck God's doing? Come on. I'm not the only one here that has sat here and been like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I get it. Yes, my perspective on this place has completely changed because you've healed me and you've restored me. And I'm looking at this with optimism. But is there gonna be a change? Am I going to see it in my lifetime? Is there something more that you're going to do in my life? What does it take to get out of this place of weight? Are you ready to get into the Word? Turn to Mark 11. Come on, ladies. I'm preaching already. I'm dropping my papers too. Mark 11. We are going to study the Word this morning from a perspective of a very interesting character. So, God can use anything, right? He can use anything to speak to us. In the Bible, he used a burning bush. He's used donkeys. He's used horses. He's used parables galore. He's used floods. He's used fire from heaven. He's used doubt and all sorts of stuff. I mean, you can use whatever. And this specific teaching, he is going to use a very interesting character. And I'm so excited to share it with you this morning. So let's turn to Mark 11, and we're going to read verses 2. Actually, let's start with 1 all the way through 10. Now, how many people know this story and have read it 1 million times? The triumphal entry, right? Okay, like this is just like, woo, Palm Sunday, crazy, love it. Awesome. But God wants to teach you something about this, not just about the Easter story or Palm Sunday, but about your life and where you're at right now. I believe God has some wisdom, discernment, and understanding into your situation that he wants to bless you with this morning. So let's get into the Word. I'm going to start with verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, I can never say that right, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. And tie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. Verse 4, they went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. Verse 7, when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Now, for some reason, God likes to speak to us through donkeys. He did it in the Old Testament, and now he wants to do it in the New Testament, specifically in your life. Now, if God has on his mind a donkey in a season, come on, ladies. If God has on his mind a donkey in a season of life, I know that he's got me on his mind during my season. If he can think about a donkey ahead of time and know exactly where that donkey is and what it's doing and what it's been through and the hurts and the failures and that's never been ridden before, if he knows exactly where that donkey is in its life and its season, I know and can guarantee that I am on his mind in my season. And I want to start off by just throwing out this fancy big question. I love to do this. Make you really think this morning, and ask you to think about this. Have you ever thought that seasons and places in your life may not always be just about you? Have you ever thought that it maybe is you're not in the season because you did something wrong? Or you messed up, or you failed in life, so God has put you in a holding cell, and you're there, and this is your punishment? Have you ever thought that perhaps the season in life has not really about you, but it's maybe perhaps about God's timing through you? Come on, ladies, I'm going somewhere this morning. Maybe it's about God's timing through you. Listen to verse 7 one more time. It says, when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Come on, who sat on what? Jesus sat on the donkey. So in this season, you can say that no matter what we're waiting for, whatever our challenges, wherever God has put us, truly the inner longing of our heart is really to serve the King. Come on, ladies. That is the inner craving and longing, is to have the opportunity to serve the King. Because the donkey served Jesus that day and ushered in the presence of the Lord into Jerusalem. And he wants to do it in your life too. Ooh, the baby likes it. He's excited. What you're really waiting for is your time to serve the King and his arrival through you. If that can just kind of just give you just a tiny bit, maybe not 50% freedom, but maybe that just gives you a little bit of that 25% freedom of where you're feeling in life today. Because when the timing is right, he will use the least of these. Because the word of God says he will use the least of these. Those preserved for a greater purpose. Sometimes we think that God has forgotten us and left us in our seasons. Sometimes we think he doesn't see, he doesn't know, because he's not doing anything. Nothing is happening. I'm still here. Yes, I have a good perspective on it. Yes, I'm declaring that joy comes in the morning and he's taking my beauty for ashes. I'm doing the right stuff. I'm where I'm supposed to be. Well, he's not changing anything. And you feel like God has forgotten about you, but he hasn't. He hasn't. He knows where you're at in life. He knows exactly what you're doing. In fact, he tells his disciples to go in there and he tells them specifically, this is what he'll be doing and this is where he's at. He knows what you're doing and he knows where you're at in life. And what I love about this is that he tells his disciples to go and let the donkey free. Not only does God know where you're at, but right now he is talking to people about your release. Come on. Right now, he is starting to minister and to the disciples and to people in this community and the surrounding place and starting to let them know about your specific release, and the timing will come soon. He's speaking. He is speaking. He has plans. He knows what he's doing. He has not forgotten you. God is saving you for greatness so you can bring him glory as he uses you for his entrances in life. Come on. This is all about him and his glory and not yours. But he's going to use you for his entrances in life. And you need to be in the place where he wants you to be so he can tell people it's time. It's time. Go. Go get them. I know exactly where they're at because they're exactly where they're supposed to be in life. Go release them. Go bring them here because now I need them for my service. Now I need them to bring glory to the King of Kings. Now I need them to serve the sick. Now I need them to serve the widow. Now I need them to rescue people and deliver them from demonic oppression. Now is the time. Go, go, go. He is talking to people about you. Even now, he is. Hallelujah. One of the questions that I thought as I read this text and asked was why? Why, Lord? Why was the colt tied up? I kept thinking to myself, why did this benefit the colt? Why isn't there any kind of freedom in this holding place? Freedom to kind of do what you want to do. Freedom to kind of roam where you want to roam. I mean, if you're going to wait, come on, at least give me some freedom to have choices and to go places. Come on. What was the benefit for this colt to be in this one place? What is the benefit for us to be in one place without freedom? What is it, Lord? Because I asked this question, I began to ask the Holy Spirit, and he began to tell me, man, to look at where he was tied up. It's all about the location. Look at where he was tied up. I saw in the Bible that the colt was tied up right outside in the street at the entrance of the village. I want you to go to verse 2. This is great stuff. Saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Now look at verse 4. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. Ooh, man. So he says, look at where the colt is tied up. So they go and find the colt, and it's right where God says it is. And as it occurred to me that he was tied there for all these years, unridden and unused, he observed a lot of people coming in and out of the village. He was in a position where he got to see a lot of activity happening as they entered Jerusalem. Come on, ladies. He saw a lot. He saw a lot. He knew this passage very well. He knew what it looked like in day, and he knew what it looked like at night. He knew the rocks. He knew the soil. He knew the sticks. He knew what to go around and to observe. He knew what to avoid. He knew where he was going. He knew the roads. He knew them so well because he had been observing them day and night. Why? Because he was tied up in a specific location. Come on, some of y'all know where I'm going this morning. Some of y'all already got your wheels turning. I can see it in your brain. He knew the path into Jerusalem the best. He saw it day and night. And because of it, he was prepared. Come on. Because of it, he was prepared when Jesus called him to bring him and to serve him exactly the way Jesus needed him to serve him. He knew it so well that when it was time to carry in Jesus' presence, he was prepared. Come on, ladies, is that not something to shout about? I don't know what is this morning. He was stuck there in a specific place because God had him in a place of learning. You think the time that you're in is wasted and it's silly and you don't understand why you're stuck here. But God's saying, look around you. I'm preparing you. I'm schooling you. I'm teaching you. I'm yoking you. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in your life so that when the timing is right, you're going to usher in my presence into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to use you in a powerful way. Because why? Because you changed your perspective on where I put you. And you're learning. And you're learning. And you're learning. Wow. We think it's a waste. But really, it's a school for where you're going. Come on, that's tweetable. You think it's a waste, your place. But really, it's a school for where God's taking you and the ministry he's put in your heart and around you. You think it's a waste. You think it's a punishment. But God's saying, no, open your eyes. The horizon is ripe. The harvest is ripe. Come on, I'm going to use you in this place. I'm going to use you in this place. I'm going to do great things in you. Wow, makes you want to go home and just look around and see what's around you and kind of open up your eyes and say, okay, woo, yeah, right, changing the baby's diaper, Lord, awesome. Maybe I'm going to be used to help some mom someday learn how to put a diaper on. I'm just talking about silly stuff that we think is just so silly, but you never know what God's going to do in that place. You never know. Makes you want to go home, open your eyes, and observe a little bit more around you. Take in a little bit more so you are prepared for your service to the King. Come on, ladies. You're waiting to serve him. You're waiting for his arrival through you. That is your inner craving and longing. You're waiting for your time for him to come and sit on you. On you. The donkey was used to usher in God's greatness and glory. Do you think, come on, from the perspective of the donkey, do you think that he walked into Jerusalem scared, afraid, had doubt, didn't know what was going on, unsure of his surroundings, unsure of what God was doing? Do you think that he walked into Jerusalem just in panic mode, like, what am I doing? What is this stick? Oh, I guess I'll jump over it. What's going on? Ooh, 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 ooh. No, he walked into Jerusalem confident because he had been there 1,000 times. He ushered in, and as he heard the people singing, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Do you think that he thought, No, he said, praise God. It was worth it. It was worth it. He knew where he was going. I think the donkey was excited and saying it was worth it. It was worth it hearing them bring in, usher in the glory of God and him being a part of that amazing, amazing event. He was saying it was worth it. It was worth the wait. It was worth the hard time. It was worth the waiting. It was worth the doubt. It was worth sometimes the transition and the discomfort of kind of being in that same place. He says it's worth it. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage. Thank you for teaching me to wait on you and to remain and have a positive, good attitude while I'm there. Thank you for teaching me to open my eyes so I can observe and see what it is you are calling me into, because you have me here for a reason. This is not punishment. This is not jail. This is not a life sentence. This is a season, and help me to learn from this season in my life. I'm sweating. Wow. To bring people back to hope, to bring people back to salvation, to bring people into a new place. I want to tell you a story. There are seasons in my life where I feel like God has put me in a place and just told me to stay. And I've been like, this is not fun. This is uncomfortable. I'm not happy here. And as I began to be taught in this place, God would teach me and he would reveal things to me. No, he didn't change the situation, but he changed my heart and my perspective on the situation. And out of this place of being stuck, God birthed this Bible study. God birthed this words. He birthed this stuff because he said, learn in this place. Learn, study my will in this place. I promise you, Amanda, I'm going to use you to usher in the presence of God when the timing and season is right in your life. And I look back and I look at all those years that I was stuck in the same place asking the Lord why. He was saying, learn, learn, learn. And I can go back now to the season in my life and say, whoa, whoa, he did know what he was doing. He's not an idiot. He actually knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Now the Bible says two things. Sorry. Now the Bible says two things about the characteristics of the place. I want you to get this. This is good this morning. The Bible says two specific things about the characteristics of the place the donkey was in. One, that he was tied up in the same place, which we just went over. Why? Number two is that he was unridden. Listen to verse 2. Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Come on, ladies, I know you're intrigued right now. Now, to hear this and to hear Jesus specifically say this is strange, because at that time, donkeys were used. Okay, it'd be like having an awesome SUV in your driveway and you having six kids and you don't use it. Donkeys were used. They were used to carry things. They were used to bring in the harvest. They were used to carry people. So for Jesus to say this donkey has been tied in this place and has not been used makes me open my ears to something new that God wants to speak to me. Why? Why? Why was he unused? This was interesting to me. The reason why I believe that the Holy Spirit revealed to me as I studied this, why the donkey was unused and why this was so important for Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem, because it was a reflection, come on, ready? It was a reflection of what Jesus was getting ready to do. I know this is in your notes. This is a reflection of what Jesus was about to do for mankind. No one had ever laid down their life for all of mankind. Come on. This sacrifice had not been done yet. This was brand new. No one had given their life for man. No one was willing to go to the cross for all of mankind to take on every sin, every burden, every illness, everything that sin brought into this world and die and sacrifice his life for all of mankind. This had not been done. This was new. So as Jesus prepared to enter Jerusalem, he needed a donkey that was in the same place. Never had been used for such a service like this. So how does this minister to you on an individual basis? I want you to realize that when Jesus comes and rides in on you, be prepared for uniqueness. Be prepared for one-of-a-kind service for your King. Come on, God likes to do things differently with all of us because we are all different and made in his image. Be prepared for uniqueness in how he's going to use it. Don't study somebody else and everything about them and think that's exactly what he's going to do in me is what he did in so-and-so. No, God wants to do something new in you, something unique in you, because you are different. So when he gets ready to use you, be prepared for one-of-a-kind of ministry, being pure, left alone, ready in his time, uniqueness in you. He wants you to remain that way, special, set apart. I don't know how many words I have to say for you to get it this morning, but God's got something really cool and interesting and unique that no one else has that's in you. That's why it was important for him to ride in on that donkey unridden. That's why it was important for him to be pure and set apart, because this had never been done for mankind. Wow. 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 Listen to verse 5. Some people standing there asked, "What are you doing?" Come on, you know we got these people in our lives. Come on, I need a witness right now. Because we have these people in our lives. What are you doing untying that colt? What are you doing? People will always question movement in your life. Come on, I know someone understands this morning. People will always question movement in your life, those around you, especially people, these are the people you have to watch out for, the people that have witnessed you in your season of being unridden and unused. Not the new people, not the people that see you being ushered in. Those people that saw that donkey were thinking, "Woo, that donkey's got it going on. Look at him carry in with that confidence." No, not those people. The people that saw you during the times when you were just sitting there learning, nothing happening, but your eyes were open, your mind was receiving, and your heart was open to the things of God. No, because that's stuff that's unseen. That's not physical. And people don't observe the unseen. People are all about seeing the outward. Come on. They want to see the present. They want to see that. They don't want to see what's inside the present. They want to see the beauty of the outside of the present. So the people will question the people that have been there with you during the times that you were unridden and unright. They don't like to see that movement in your life. Why? Because it's an indication that they are being left behind. Somewhere in their insecurity, they feel like something is not right with them then. Something must be wrong with them if you're getting pulled and being used and things are happening in your life and God is saying it's your season and it's your time and it's your time to ride in and it's time for me to sit on you. They think, well, then something's wrong with them. That's why it's so hard to get encouragement from prideful people. That's why it's so hard to get encouragement, period, when it's your time. And it's so sad to say it, but it's true. So these people begin to question you, doubt you, wonder what it is going on, fret. But I want to tell you this morning, I just want to give you some encouragement. Because there's many times I've had to encourage myself in the Lord like David did regarding this ministry. And to just encourage myself and say, Jesus, you are here. This is yours. This is not about me and this is not about the encouragement that you bring me. This is all about you and I lay it before you. And I'll just bring you a sacrifice of praise. And I just want to honor you and delight myself in you. But what I love about this is God saying, don't fret about your past associations. Because when Jesus does the calling and when it's your time, look at verse 6. It says, are you ready? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people, come on out loud, and the people let them go. And the people, I just need to hear it again. And the people, if it's Jesus calling you and it's his plan in your life, they have to release you. They cannot be a burden. They cannot be a hindrance in your life. They cannot be the person that ties you down and says, no, you can't be used for this because then I'm going to. Come on, ladies. They have to let you go when it's Jesus calling you. The important thing to remember about this is that the disciple says, the Lord has need of it. We're not taking him because we have a self-centered need for this. The Lord has need of it. When it's him calling you, they have to release you, whether they like it or not, because it's your time for your service to the king. It's your time. Your time. You are worth it. It's your time. You are worth it. Baby, you're worth it. Come on. Come on. And that donkey that day witnessed one of the greatest services to the king as he carried him into his destiny. 2,000 years later, this donkey is remembered and known for what he did through plays, through sermons. Every single year, the donkey is remembered through pageants, through stories, through text, through plays, through whatever it is. This donkey is remembered for his service. There's heathens that know that the donkey carried Jesus in on Palm Sunday. Come on. This donkey knew his worth. He knew it. Wow. What are we willing to wait for? Ladies, do you understand? What are we willing to wait for in our lives? What are we willing to sit on for just a little bit longer? Because God's saying, don't worry, I'm going to use you. The timing is all in his hands. Wow. The one who ushered in the presence of Jesus. Father, we just are so humbled that you would ever want to use us for anything. That you would ever want to come and sit your incredible presence and truth on us and use us to usher in something mighty for your kingdom, God. And as people lift up your name and as people say, Hosanna, Lord, how humbled we are to carry you in your presence. Father, this is all about you. And this is about your season and your timing to move through us, Lord. But as we wait, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on that which you have put in front of us to learn from. Help us to keep our mind on the Word of God and to reveal truth to us in this season of life, Lord Jesus. Help us not to give up, Lord, because you reward those who are patient and wait on you. The Word of God says that you will wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and we will mount up like eagles, and we will soar over the hardships of life because we waited on you. Father, you're so good and your presence is so real. Minister to these women in this special place, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, ladies. Y'all have a blessed week. Go to your small groups if you can. Teresa has an announcement. If you'll just stay put for just a second. Oh, don't forget the offering bucket. Help me with these CDs, ladies.
Real quick, I just wanted to point this out because as we were worshiping today, I just felt God's presence so big. I'm sure all of you did if you were here for